Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Smell Podcast. I'm your host, Katie Boateng. This month, join me in a conversation with Sarah McCormick, author of The Skunk Who Couldn't Smell. Sarah and I talk about her story growing up with congenital anosmia due to Kallmann syndrome. We talk about her journey to becoming a children's book author and how she and her husband decided to write The Skunk Who Couldn't Smell. A summary of the book, taken from the back of the cover, states, "Missing out stinks. Smellarella Skunkerton always knew she was different from the other skunks, but she was never sure why. When the smell of her mom's baking brings her siblings running to the kitchen, Smellarella realizes the problem. She can't smell." All right, let's jump in and listen to the interview. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the Smell Podcast. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing so good. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm very excited to speak with you today. So to get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from and where are you located now?
Yes. So I actually live in Caledonia, Michigan. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan, which honestly, it's like 20 minutes apart. So ultimately, I still live where I grew up.
That's great. I actually don't know that I've ever been to Michigan.
No? Oh, well, right now it's cold. It's winter.
I imagine I'll have to visit someday.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit more about your anosmia story?
Yes, I would love to. So that my, I feel like everybody's story is, I know, a little bit unique. So I was about 8, and it's funny because we're going to, later on, we're going to chat about the book that I wrote, but really my story is almost exactly representative of the book. At about 8 years old, my siblings set me down and they put me through a smell test because I told them I couldn't smell and they did not believe me. So they blindfolded me and put me through a smell test. They had me smell things like pizza and other things. And I would tell them, like, listen, I can't smell this. And they did not believe me. So they took then chemicals and they put them underneath my nose. And because I moved my head, because the chemicals, you know, they just burned the inside of my nose. Because I moved my head, they all said, oh, see, told you, told you you were lying. So they then did not believe me, to which then, of course, I went to my mom and I was like, hey, I can't smell, you know, my siblings, they're being punks. And so my family's big into baking. My mom is a huge baker. She's always been just baking and cooking. And she goes, Sarah, like for as long as I can remember, I don't ever recall you saying, hey, like that bread smells good or those cookies smell so good. I can remember all your other siblings being able to smell, but not you. And so she's like, so she took me to the doctor, the ear, nose, and throat specialist, to which they didn't have great answers for me. It was ultimately just kind of like, yeah, she either has no sense of smell or she either has no olfactory bulb or it's broken, right? They didn't really have they couldn't tell me why per se, but it was just like, yep, that's just how she is. So I was like, okay. And then I actually have Kallmann syndrome as well. So, but we didn't know about that until years later. So, around the time that you're 13, 14 and you'd get your cycle would start. I never got mine. And so my mom then of course brought me to an OBGYN to where she had no idea why. Right. And it was, oh yeah, she's just a late bloomer. It'll come sort of thing. And years later, it still never came.
Interesting.
And then really what it was funny, kind of how we discovered I had Kallmann syndrome is I was in college by that point. I just entered college. I was 18 and I was in a psychology class and the professor had said something about how, and I don't know if this is still true, but how women's cycles tend to sync up, like women who are around each other, maybe on a basketball team together or something like that, their cycles tend to sync up because of something related to being able to smell. And so everybody kind of gets in sync. And I was like, wait a second, I can't smell. And I don't have my period. So my mom happens to work with my OBGYN at the same hospital. So she ran into her the next day. And the OBGYN was like, oh my gosh, I know what Sarah has. She's got Kallmann syndrome. So it was just kind of fun how that came about.
Wow, so you actually still hadn't started a period by 18, and they had just kind of told you
Yeah, they were getting
eventually.
they were getting ready to kind of put me, I don't say put me under, but start to do more like digging in to see why, why it happened or what's going on, sort of
Yeah.
thing. And it's a kind of funny story. I have a sister-in-law who's an OBGYN, and she of course has heard of Kallmann syndrome, and she said it's funny because it's on all of their OBGYN, like all their boards to pass or their tests. That's always like a question that stumps everybody, is like the Kallmann syndrome. But she said it's a question on every single exam, is like, the correlation, or like, what does your patient have if they can't smell and they have not gotten their period?
Wow, and so you'd think that they would have been more familiar with it.
Right, I would think so. Yeah, but although who knows, that was, well, I'm 38 or 39, so 20 years ago. So who knows? Maybe times have
Yeah.
changed.
Yeah. Well, how frustrating to be kind of, I don't, what's the right word? Dismissed for such a long time about what was actually happening to you and probably confusing to you as well.
Right. Well, it's also kind of funny because it's one of those things that you're like, well, from what I've heard from everybody, I actually probably don't want my period. So, okay, that's okay. That's okay to not have it, sort of thing.
Right. Yeah, well, let's switch gears and I'd like to hear more about your book. So it's recently been published, I believe. The book is called The Skunk Who Couldn't Smell. So can you tell us a little bit about the book and then maybe the behind the scenes for you? How did you decide to write this book?
Yeah, I would love to. So yes, we published it in September of 2023, so not too long ago. And really the idea behind it is my husband had said, "Hey, Sarah, like let's try to maybe make a story or a children's story and put it out there just as a hobby. Maybe we can kind of generate some extra income." And I kind of dismissed him, and I was like, "Nah, that we're not going to do that. Like we're not writers, we're not authors, we're not that's not our jam. We're both, I should say, we're both currently in working in IT, so we're both very technical." And I'm like, "Oh, that's not the world we live in, Michael. Let's move on." And then a couple of days later, I kind of had the idea of like, "Hey, you know what? We could probably write a story about, my what I went through with not being able to smell, because in my experience, that this is the only book we've written, but it seems a lot easier to write a book on your own experience versus kind of, trying to make something up per se, right? That takes a lot more creativity than building something off of your own experience." We kind of started the process. I will tell you, Katie, the first several drafts were awful, right? Because if you've never written a book before, you don't know what you're doing, and you're like, "Wow, this is awesome." And then we would work with the editor, and she'd be like, "No, try again, redo." So it's just a lot of back and forth with the editor to really kind of get it to where we wanted it. But going forward, we learned a lot from our editor of, what we should be including, kind of how we should be writing things. She would tell us a lot, Sarah, like, you got to show versus tell. You don't just tell them, that your character was sad. You've got to show, that they were sad using descriptive language. So we learned a lot through that process, and really we've already kind of started on a second book. And I even feel like just the first draft of our second book is already like miles ahead of where we were when we wrote our first book.
Yeah, I mean, no one knows how to do something until they do it, right? So I think that's pretty awesome that you guys pursued it anyway.
Yes. Yeah, it was definitely a lot that we learned along the way. But it was really cool to work with the illustrators that we worked with. They actually aren't in the United States. But it was kind of cool to connect with them. And the illustrator that is just, she does amazing work. I don't know how illustrators are so creative, but they are. I would just tell her, like, "All right, Evgenia, like, I want it to look like kind of like this, right?" And I just give her a very just like generic description. And then she'd come back with like all these like really cool characters or features. And I'm like, how did you get that off of the one sentence that I gave you?" But it
Right.
was fun to see that creative process.
So I imagine that the book is about a skunk who can't smell, right? Can you tell us a little bit more about the storyline?
Yes. Yep. So it is about, as I kind of alluded to earlier, it's about me and what I went through. So Really, it starts off the character's name is Smellerella Skunkerton, and it really starts off with her kind of realizing that she can't smell things like bread and cookies. And then she goes on her own little investigation to kind of figure out, well, are there other things I can't smell? So she kind of goes out around town and she tries smelling flowers in a pig pen, and she even tries kind of skunking a dog, to which she realizes she can't smell that either, but she knows that it stinks because the dog sure could smell it. And then it kind of journeys into her telling her brother, who I call him Sneaky Pete, who she tells Sneaky Pete, to which Sneaky Pete puts her through just a whole series of smell tests ultimately. And then it really ends with the mom of Skookerton coming home, Smellerella telling her, like, hey, I can't smell. My siblings don't believe me. They bring her to the doctor, to where the doctor, says, hey, yep, you're right. You don't have an olfactory bulb. And then it kind of, the very ending, it kind of puts a fun twist on it, per se. Like, it, the one of the characters, Stinkerina, ends up kind of spraying the whole van on accident. And then she kind of notices that all of her siblings have their heads out the window, just kind of gagging at the smell. But she's like, hey, you know what? Maybe not being able to smell isn't all that bad. And it kind of is a nice twist of, like, you know what? We're all unique in our own way. And, does she wish she could smell? Sure. However, there's definitely benefits to it.
So the next thing I'd like to ask you about the book is actually where can people find it?
Yes. So it can be found mostly on Amazon. If you're local, then I do a lot of local readings, and I'll sell the book locally. But yep, Amazon is your place to go. Just type in the skunk who couldn't smell, and we sell it there for $12.
That's awesome.
There's also, I should say, there's also an ebook version, and if you have a Kindle Unlimited, then it is free as well. And I will just say, I love reviews, so if you're listening and you want to leave a review for me, it would be highly appreciated.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll make sure we reiterate that at the end as well to get people to go and read it. I actually have it on Kindle Unlimited.
Oh, perfect.
I've seen the illustrations and they are really cute.
Aren't they? They're the best.
Yes, they're really
I love them.
adorable. So, okay, we'll make sure to link out to that at the end for people. Going back to your experience growing up with anosmia, do you have something that stands out to you as like a most memorable experience with it or something that's was funny in regards to your anosmia?
Sure. So I would, could I share two different things?
Yeah,
Would that be
please.
okay? Okay. Perfect. So I was thinking about this yesterday, and I thought, okay, I feel like I have both a funny one and then one to me that's maybe more memorable, per se. And the funny one is, my husband and I have been married for about 3 years now. But right before we got married, I was living in my apartment, and he came over, and he was going to quick take a shower. And so I put chicken in the oven, and I happened to put it on a tray that did not have like sides on it. And the chicken got juicy, as it does, and it started to spill over into the oven. And of course, I can't smell that the oven is ultimately on fire and smoking everywhere. So my husband, no, well, boyfriend at the time, comes out and is like, oh my gosh, like, our oven is on fire, like, our just fire everywhere in the oven. We had to open it up, we had to throw stuff on it. The fire alarms are going off. To me, that was a funny story for me. And then kind of a more memorable one is, I was about 24 at the time, and I had just moved home from Nebraska, and I was moved in with my parents for a little while, and I was cleaning the bathroom. In the toilet, I mixed two different chemicals. I didn't think anything of it. And so I'm cleaning away the bathroom, and I'm noticing that I'm getting like a little lightheaded, and okay, I don't know. And so I go to open up the toilet seat, and I start like gagging because there's just so much, like, just the fumes from the chemicals I've been like inhaling for, probably 20 minutes at this point. So I run out of the bathroom, and my parents come in, and they're like, they can smell it. So they're like, oh my God, like, get out of here, like, go outside, try to get fresh air. I ultimately ended up with chemical burns all in my lungs, because apparently the two chemicals I had mixed had apparently made some like mustard gas or
Oh my
something like that. So
gosh.
yes. So
That's
yes.
terrifying.
Don't mix chemicals together is what I've learned. Yeah, but yeah, there's definitely a lot of those things that people don't think about when they think like, oh, you can't smell, that must be great. Like, yes, there's definitely benefits, but there's a lot more things that are scary, right? That you could like had my husband not been in the apartment and but it'd be like, hey, dude, that's on fire. Like, what's going on? Like that, or you know, the chemical stuff. Like it just you never know. You kind of put yourself in danger all the time.
Yeah, I actually have a really similar story to that. When I was in college, I was moving out of an apartment and I was cleaning my bathroom. It was
Uh-oh.
winter, I think, or maybe the window pane didn't open for some reason. I don't remember why, but I didn't open the bathroom window. So I was like spraying bleach cleaning spray like all over this bathroom and just like going to town and didn't wear a mask while I was doing any of this. And I just remember, like, all of a sudden, I was like, I don't feel well. Like, I have a headache. And then my friend came in and he was like, you need to get out of here. Like, did you dump the whole bucket of bleach? Like, get out of this room. And I think he opened the window. So maybe I just hadn't opened it for some reason. Like, he
Right, you
opened
didn't
the
think about
window
it.
and I went out front. But I had a terrible headache for the rest of the day. And that wasn't me making mustard gas, but it was just bleach cleaning spray being like too strong. And I didn't know, similar to what you're saying, like I just had no idea. So I just was in there cleaning until all of a sudden I didn't feel good.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy things to think about for those of us who can't smell.
Yeah, and
And I
also
know
dangerous.
it is. Yes.
So the next thing I want to ask you about is whether or not you self-identify as having a disability because of your anosmia. And to preface this question, there's no right or wrong answer. I'm just curious in how people feel about it.
Yeah. So this is also, you've been asking me a lot of doozy type questions. I'm like, oh man, I'm not entirely sure how I'm going to answer that one. So I will say that I have never actually come out and said, you know, I would consider it to be a disability. I've never on all the forums out there, right? I've never marked it as like, yes, I have a disability. But with that said, if you actually, you know, look at the word of disability and what it means, I certainly meet that criteria. So like we just talked about with me setting our stove on fire, like there are certain things that I'm limited to. So for example, right, I couldn't be a firefighter. I wouldn't be able to smell smoke, that sort of stuff. Or I tried to get into the Navy way long ago and they, right, I got denied because I was like, nah, I think it was a certain position I was looking for, but they were like, oh no, you not being able to smell is a hindrance. You know, that wouldn't be an option for you.
Wow,
So
so
I
you weren't
definitely
able to join the Navy for that?
So I definitely feel like there are certain things you can't do, but then, you know, I'm sure that there are jobs though that I could do. For example, I could go be, you know, a trash collector or a person who goes and picks up dead skunks or right, the stuff that where smell doesn't bother you. So you definitely maybe have openings there, but it's definitely more of a negative impact on jobs you couldn't do.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think that personally, I think it is a disability. I think that there's an interesting conversation around this word and like the anosmia community. Some people are comfortable saying that it is, and some people are very uncomfortable with that. Some people even feel angry if you say that you have a disability because of anosmia. And I'm not quite sure where that comes from, but I do find it fascinating.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's because, you know, whenever you've asked people, hey, what is, if you were to lose a sense, which one would you lose? And I feel like n nine times out of 10, they'll tell you smell, right? Because it's like, well, you know, do I want to see or do I not want to be able to smell, sort of thing, right? I'd much rather not be able to smell than not be able to see. So I wonder if that's maybe where some of the rub comes in, where it's like, well, you know, that's on the lower end of the disability range. So I wonder if that's why some people kind of maybe, like you said, take offense to it. But then I wonder if there's maybe people who are on the flip side of that, where people may take offense if you don't say it's a disability, because I've been fortunate enough to not have a lot of like, you know, really anything bad happen to me. But there certainly could be people out there who maybe have had bad stuff happen to them because they couldn't smell.
There's a paper, and I don't know the title of it, but someone that I know in this community, Dr. Rachel Herz, she focuses on like olfaction and emotions. And her and some of her colleagues did a study where they asked people, whether they would rather lose their sense of smell or like a physical object, like something that was important to them. And a lot of the people, I should know the percentages better before I start talking about these things, but that's okay. I can look it up and include it. But many people actually said that they would rather lose their sense of smell than give up their cell phone.
Really? No.
I'll send it
No.
to you and I'll include it in the episode notes so that people can click on it and read about it if they're interested.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's crazy to me because I don't, yeah, those are the people who just don't understand what it's like to not have a sense of smell because there's like, I was going to talk about this later, but like one of the things that's probably because I think you had asked me like what I want to share with people who don't have an asthma,
Exactly.
what
Yeah,
it's
that's my
like.
next question for you is it's
Oh,
perfect segue. So what do
sure.
you what would you share with people about what it's like to live with anosmia?
Yeah, and that's I did a post on this the other day on my social media, and that's for me the biggest thing with having anosmia is I am anxious all the time about smelling. I'm worried that I'm going to be out in public and then I'll be stinky and right people are going to not want to tell me because they're going to think like, oh, I don't want to tell Sarah that she smells, so that I'm walking around smelly. I've got, you know, my poor husband is asked constantly to smell my clothes or, you know, our food, just all these things. And having that anxiety about smelling, I feel like just almost makes it worse because then you're anxious and then you start to sweat. Well, then you start to probably smell more because you're
Right.
sweating.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's just that constant pressure of like, or you know, if somebody's getting in your car, I always tell them, I can't promise you that it's not stinky. I mean, I'm not a dirty person. My car is actually quite clean, but I don't know. Like, I drink a lot of protein shakes, and maybe I left a protein shake in there overnight, and maybe it just stinks really bad. I don't know. So that to me is the biggest hindrance. For me, is that just kind of anxiety that I deal with daily of like, am I smelly? I don't know.
Right. It's a real fear.
It
Yeah,
doesn't
I've had
help.
a.
Oh,
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it doesn't help that I had an ex-husband who would he would not be very nice about it if I was stinky. He'd be like, oh man, you stink. Like, okay, like. Maybe say it nicely. You maybe be like, oh yeah, I wouldn't wear that. Or you know what? Yeah, maybe put a different outfit on, right? I don't know. So that probably didn't help.
That probably illustrates why he's an ex-husband.
Yes.
Yeah. So one question that I'm really interested in asking people who have congenital anosmia is, if you could have a sense of smell, would you want one?
I think I absolutely would. I would love to be able to smell all the different things. Somebody asked me the other day, and this is the first time I've ever been asked it, but they asked, what would you smell? If you could smell, what's the one thing that you would like to smell? Which I was like, oh gosh, I don't know. Because since I've never smelled before, I'm like, I don't know. So I said pizza because I absolutely love pizza. I'm going down a rabbit hole. What was the question again?
No, I was asking about if you could have a sense of
Ah,
smell.
yes, thank you. The answer is absolutely yes. I would love to be able to just smell all the things out there. I'm sure if you were to say, okay, Sarah, we're going to turn it on tomorrow, there might be an adjustment period because I'd be like, what are all these things hitting my nose right now?
Yeah.
But
Pizza is pretty
that's okay.
awesome. Even for me, without a sense of smell, just like you, I do love pizza. Being able to smell it, just like the flavor perception of it is even better. So, yeah, I agree with you. Pizza's pretty great.
Yeah. So I want to hear your story because I know I'd read up a little bit. So you were able to smell and then you had an accident, right? Is that correct? And then you lost it.
No, so I did lose it, but my situation is that I was in college and I had an upper respiratory infection. I was sick for several weeks.
Okay.
Maybe even like a month. It was quite a long time over my first, like the first winter of college. And then at some point in that spring, when we got back to school after winter break, I realized that I wasn't able to smell anymore.
Okay.
So that's when my journey started. And I went to like the doctor, and long story short, I was sort of left with good luck with your life, and
Oh my
you
goodness.
don't need to come back for any more appointments.
Right, because it's like there's no, and that's the other thing. Somebody asked me about like is there a cure? I'm like, nothing I know. Like, at least, I don't know, if
No,
you're
there's
deaf,
not.
right, you can maybe have the cochlear implants. But like, if you can't smell, there's nothing that I've ever known about that will allow us to ever smell.
Yeah, and that's actually
But
one of like the most frustrating things for me when I speak to people. If I went to, I wear glasses, so like if I go to the eye doctor and I said, I can't see, they would do something about that, right? They would test my eyes, they would figure out what was going on, they would make a plan, they would give me glasses, they would give me surgery, like there would be something done about that. And for some reason, we don't do that for smell. I became anosmic in 2009, and I was never given an objective smell test, like the scratch and sniff smell test, ever.
oh,
So no one
yeah.
actually tested me. I had like an MRI and a CT scan, but no one actually tested the sense of smell, which is baffling, right? And so it just blows my mind a little bit that we're doing that daily to people who show up and say, I can't smell. Can you help me? And the answer is no. And then they're just like sent on their way, right? So the analogy I'm trying to make here is if I showed up and I couldn't see, I wouldn't be allowed to leave and drive, right? Like they would be accommodations for me. Like people would do something,
Yes.
they would help me, but we're not doing that for people without a sense of smell.
Right. And I think that goes back to, it was really uncommon. COVID, of course, has helped it a little bit because it's a lot more common now. People are like, oh, yeah, I joke because my sister always tells me that I'm patient zero of COVID because I can't smell, which I'm not. But I think it just goes back to because it's so uncommon that it's kind of like, I have no idea what even the percentage of people who can't smell is. I'm sure it's very small. So it's kind of like, well, do we want to focus on that, or do we have maybe some of these other bigger fish to fry, and focus on, maybe some of the other disorders or diseases out there that are impacting more people.
Yeah, well, I mean, to your point, we don't actually know how many people are affected by smell and taste disorders because we don't do objective smell testing,
Yep,
right? So, like, when
totally.
you go to your primary care provider each year, you get things checked, like your hearing, your vision. You do those types of standardized testing, but we don't do that for smell or taste. So we don't
And
know.
one, it's curious to me. So we're both, I think, in that congenital anosmia group on Facebook. And a lot of the folks in there, they've said how, they'll go to the doctor, and sometimes they even actually know more about it than the doctors do themselves, because it's something that, we're invested in, and we're like, oh, what's this, or how does that work, or but the doctors a lot of times maybe don't have answers because it's not on high on that priority list.
Exactly.
Same goes true with the Common syndrome, right? That's even more rare. I'll be really curious to see how, like, for me as I get older, how that impacts me. Like, I've been told I'll have probably like brittle bones and that sort of thing, but so far I seem normal, but I'm only 39. So, but there's no real research out there of like, okay, this is what you can expect, Sarah, when you're 59 and 69 and 79. Like, for example, I don't, will I go through menopause? I have no idea. So
Right.
things like
Yeah.
that.
So my one of the final questions for you is, do you have anything else about your story or about the book that you wrote or anything that you'd like to share?
I don't think so. I think we covered it all.
Great.
But I think maybe the one final thing I could add is, I want to spread awareness about it, which is why I wrote the book. When I go chat with the not chat, but when I go read the books to the kiddos, it always comes up that the book is based off of me and I can't smell. And right, the kiddos are like, wait, what? You can't smell? Like, nothing? How about pizza? How about, right? They'll list off 20 things, and they can't wrap their minds around not being able to smell. So I think it'd be great to just kind of continuously bring awareness to the fact that there's a whole group of us out there who can't smell.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the final thing that I'd like to ask is about how can listeners get connected with you on social media?
Yes, I have two main accounts, one on Instagram, one on Facebook. I would say my one on Instagram, I try to put more there because I'm trying to growing your social media accounts is tough. This is what I'm learning. So I'm more active on my Instagram one, which is at the Skunkertons. And then on the Facebook account, it's Smellerella Skunkerton is my one there.
Awesome. I'll make sure to include links to those so that people can go and check them out. So I'd like
Perfect.
to say thank you so much for coming on today and speaking with me about your own story growing up with congenital anosmia, but also about your book, The Skunk Who Couldn't Smell. I'm hoping everyone who's listening will go out and get themselves a copy so they can read it and maybe share it around with kids in their own family and spread
Yeah.
awareness about this condition.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to meet with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for joining today.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
Thank you to Sarah for joining the podcast and sharing her story with us. Please check out her book, The Skunk Who Couldn't Smell, co-written with her husband, Michael Smith, on Amazon. I'll include a link to that in the episode notes. During the interview, I mentioned an article which was co-written by doctors Rachel Herz and Martha Bacek. And the title of the article is Your Money or Your Sense of Smell, a comparative analysis of the sensory and psychological value of olfaction. The specific statistic that I couldn't quite recall during the interview was that 19% of those surveyed would rather give up their sense of smell than their cell phone. I'll link to the article in the episode notes so you can read more about it if you'd like. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. The goal of the show is so that you know you're not alone. If you found it helpful to you in any way, please leave a review so you can help others find the podcast. You can check out Smell Podcast merchandise available on the website, thesmellpodcast.com. If you're interested in rocking some gear, visit the website to order. Until next time, have a wonderful day.